Well, Ambassador, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Louise. It's great to see you again.
What do you think it was about Barack Obama's background and his approach to political campaigning that led him to embrace social media, led him to see the potential of it?
Well, I think part of it was that he was a community organizer. And as a community organizer, he was used to the idea that face-to-face contact is the best kind of contact. And, you know, first you go door-to-door, but when you can't hit enough doors, then you start doing the next best thing, which is by phone. And he saw social networking as the next iteration of it, but better than phone, and in some ways better than going door-to-door, because not only were you going door-to-door, but you were able to reach into every other door in the neighborhood simultaneously. So it was his community organizing sense that attracted him to the media.
There are some risks, though, in knocking on a stranger's door. Were they thought about when this started?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think everyone but the president and a few very confident techie people were nervous about it, because their sense was you need to control an environment. You need to control your message. And social networking is not about control. It's about trusting other people that if you have a message which is interesting, they'll share it. And he had confidence in people because he had been a community organizer, and he knew that generally if you reach out to people and you show trust and confidence in them, they rise to it.
So how did it start? What did he start doing, and how did he build upon the lessons that were learned along the way?
What was interesting about the president's approach is that, unlike most other people who in the campaign who looked at the computer as just another TV set or a very sophisticated mailbox, he looked at it as a community and started from that base. And so we built a community from the very beginning of the campaign. It wasn't about, this is another dimension of our messaging. This was the core of our messaging.
Other campaigners were using tools such as email. What specifically were you using?
We used everything. We had MyBarackObama.com, which was the platform for people to create their own social networks supporting Barack Obama. We had over 2 million people created profiles on that. But we also had 15 other social networks in which Obama had a page. And I think we had 3.2 million followers on Facebook. And we had millions and millions of followers, if you counted all the connections, on MyBarackObama.com. And then there were, as I said, I think 14, 15 others.
It was used not only to get the message across and to garner support, it was also used to attract financial support. How successful was that? And what were your opponents thinking about the way the money was rolling in through the links made through social media?
Well, I think everyone was stunned by it, because people had always had the idea that, boy, it would be a lot easier to get a million people to give $60 than to find, 60 people who would give me $1 million. That's the, but most campaigns are built upon the notion of finding a small handful of people with lots of either money or contacts who will raise that sort of money to support them. When President Obama said that he was going to try and raise money in small donations across a large number of people, Buck said, well, good luck, but it never works. And so they were stunned when it came rolling in. And I think, again, because what he was able to do with social media was take the experience of being in a fundraiser in the real world and transpose it into the online world. If you give me a moment, I can explain. If you're at a fundraiser, this is typically what happens. You go in, you mingle with some other people, waiting for the candidate to arrive. Maybe at some point a person that you know from the community steps up and says some nice things about the candidate. Maybe you watch a video. Then the candidate comes out, speaks. No one really gets to shake, his or her hand because it's too big a room. And then they leave and you talk to one another. You maybe buy a hat or something like that. And then you make plans for the next time you're going to get back, along with making a donation. That's sort of the experience at a fundraiser. All of that happened online. You got into a room, you communicated with each other, and it had the same feel. But instead of having to do you know, three fundraisers a day. They were happening simultaneously all over the country all the time.
How has the administration's use of social media changed? Now that the president, now that he's the president and you're in government, how has it changed?
Well, it's very different. As I said, there's one experience when you're running for office, and that's a participatory effort. People elect a president, and it's up to them, and they're the decision makers, and they're the drivers, and they're the ones who are accepting messages or rejecting messages and using word of mouth and deciding whether to make donations. It's largely in their hands. When you're in government, governments have to speak with one voice. If you're going to govern effectively, you can't have constant interactions, and it's a different experience, and I think the White House is adapting to that. It's already doing some very innovative things on the whitehouse.gov site, but we're still, you know, figuring out the full potential of social networking when you're dealing from a government-to-citizen situation as opposed to a candidate-to-citizen.
And is there a danger, too, that people feel close to a candidate when they're being directly targeted, if you like, through social media, when they feel part of the conversation? Is there more of a danger that if that candidate, when elected, doesn't do what you want them to do, that the sense of betrayal is greater?
You know, I see it in two ways, but I understand the phenomenon you're talking about. One is, imagine every great team you've been a part of, whether it's you're in a play or you're on a sports team or you, even your class that you graduate from. There's this real sense of community that develops, and there's this feeling that we're all in this together, and then it ends. The season ends, the play has its last show, you know, you all graduate. And during that last celebration, you think, well, we're going to stick together, we're going to see each other. But you can't. That's not how the real world works. And so the same thing happens online. It's our society just online. And so I think there's always that sense of loss and disappointment because you just don't, this community that you loved and were deeply integrated in suddenly isn't there anymore. So that's one element that candidates have to overcome once they get elected, is that their community that we were all part of has to change. I think the other thing is what you said, which is that social networks have sort of flattened us all out. I get emails from everyone. You know, my son's friends, you know, will send me notes on Facebook asking for, you know, romantic advice, you know. And
do you give it?
Oh, I give it with a caveat that, you know, I got lucky and married my wife early because before she knew better. So I don't know that much about romance other than my own good fortune with my wife. But I do try and give advice, and I do try and reach out to people, but there's no way that you can have that direct contact. When you're in public life, you have to have some filters and some barriers. And I think people growing up in social networks just don't expect there to be any barriers. They expect to be able to talk to anyone anytime.
Yeah, which is one of the real challenges. And just finally, Ambassador Blash, how's your own tweeting going?
Oh, okay. I'm embarrassed about my tweeting because I have been. Our embassy has a terrific tweet and Facebook and all these other vehicles. But for me, I have a Twitter account, but I don't have the ability to Twitter on my BlackBerry because of confidentiality concerns. And so we're trying to work through all the privacy filters and everything else so that I can actually start tweeting. So hopefully, I'll be tweeting to you soon.
Thank you very much for being with us. Enjoy the day.
Thank you very much. And it's great to see you again, Louise.